Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, Women in WP listeners. This is Angela with a quick message from our sponsor, WP Remote. WP Remote is a dedicated care plan platform that can help fuel your agency's growth with maintenance care plans for your clients' websites. WP Remote provides an automated workflow for you to manage multiple sites from a central dashboard with one-click updates, incremental backups, automated malware scans, firewall, uptime monitor, and more. WP Remote is created by the same great folks behind Blog Vault, Malcare, and Migrate Guru. Save time, increase your revenue, and make your clients happy by trying WP Remote for free today at wpremote.com/womeninwp. And now on with the show. Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Amy Masson.
And I'm Tracy Epps.
Our guest today is Jody Richelli. Jody works for Web Dev Studios, creating business opportunities for the agency. She was also on the organizing team for the first two WordCamp US events in Philadelphia. Welcome, Jody.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
If you've listened to the show, you will know that we like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
It's a very funny story. So my background is actually in music. That's the world that I came from. So I studied music for about 20 years and played various instruments, sang, really loved it, but realized that I didn't necessarily want to follow that path as my career. But one day I was bored and I decided that I was going to sing again. So I got in touch with this record agency out here near Philadelphia, and they needed some backup work done on some tracks. I thought, this is cool, I'll go do that. So I went to the studio and met the manager of the studio. Fast forward like 15 years later, we dated, married, and got divorced. But when we were working together at that studio, I was talking to all of these artists that were coming in and out, and they were so dependent on MySpace as their form of marketing and management for their online presence. And I just thought, kept thinking, someday MySpace is going to go away. This was in the heat of MySpace, like when it was like the biggest thing for artists and musicians. So I had said to that my then partner, we should think of a way to create websites for these artists. And he said, that's a great idea. And we started doing research. And I woke up one day and I came downstairs. All of these online tutorials for WordPress were downloaded onto my computer. He had downloaded a copy of GIMP for me to learn how to do design. And I spent 2 days learning about WordPress and how to make graphics. And then we started the first website for our artists that way. And that was my introduction into WordPress. That was 2005. So that was a very long time ago. Yeah, it was crazy.
I love GIMP. That takes me way back.
I am going to say I am not a designer and I am not a developer, and I would never put myself in one of those categories. I have since looked back on a lot of the flyers and graphics that I created, and I literally went through every effect on every font and used it. It just like drop shadow, stroke, like make it as big as possible. They're terrible. They're
really bad. I got an art degree. I was in graphic design. And when I got like Photoshop, like 4.5 or whatever it was, I don't know. And I was like, oh, look, Bevel. Like, yeah, we've all gone through that.
Oh, the drop shadow. That was my favorite. Everything had a drop shadow.
Needed to have a drop shadow. How else would it stand out from
exactly
the really naughty background on the flyer that I was creating?
Especially when the animated, you know, like, or if it was a website and the animated background. It was a tiled animated background, so you needed some.
Or in the blink tag, that was kind of my favorite thing back in HTML days, was blink.
I learned HTML and CSS by trying to edit my MySpace page. I mean, that's really where I got my introduction to all of that, which is great. I mean, I met my partner on MySpace. I got my career in WordPress in MySpace. I learned my first coding on MySpace, which is crazy, right? And now it's evolved into a career for me that I truly love. So I feel very lucky. But that's how it started. It was just kind of like a fluke thing.
That's so funny because, yeah, I remember you could hack WordPress.
Yes.
Or, I mean, not WordPress. You could hack the MySpace to, like, make it designed, you know? Oh, gosh. Yeah. I wonder how many people learned from that, because that really was. That was the big thing, because then you were, like, it was, like, you know, oh, like, it was, like a you know, like a badge of honor. Like, did you see really my...
People were making careers out of creating pieces of code that you can add to your MySpace page to alter it, to get things floating down or scrolling marquees or whatever it is that you wanted at that point. And you're probably right, because, you know, I think back to when I was a freshman in college. I'm totally dating myself right now, but for the purposes of this conversation, it's important. And when I was a freshman at college, I remember walking into one of my communication classes freshman year. The professor saying to us, have you all heard about this thing called the World Wide Web? And we all said, no. Isn't that like what the military uses to move files from like one place to another? We had no idea what it was. And I think about that all the time. When I was in college, this career path that I chose did not exist. When I was using MySpace, I was being introduced to what would become my livelihood. And I really didn't know it at the time. So I think we're part of this generation that was in between this really big shift in career paths that we could potentially take. And so what we learned in college, all of those skills that we learned in school, in high school, in grade school, we're learning to apply to this new trajectory of career paths, but it certainly wasn't an option. I took typing classes on a typewriter. Like, we did not have a computer. You know, here we are. It's really crazy to think about that.
I think I might have been the last class. In high school, we had typing on typewriters. And I think,
mine did.
Because we had, like, I think we had, like, two, like, computer box machines, you know, like, that kind of thing. And then microfiche, you know, like, that was kind of the technology landscape. And it's funny because you say, like, and because we are in that kind of middle area, like the teachers, the people that were teaching us didn't understand what the ramifications of this was. So like I got downgraded because I was like, oh, and then I'm thinking about this and this. And they're like, oh, they didn't understand it. And so like, it's fascinating. So we just kind of like take social media things and then make it our education.
Yeah, we didn't have a choice. I mean, I remember in college, we got our first digital editing system. It was called a Media 100. I was a TV and comm major. It's called a Media 100. I was a senior in college. My professors had no idea what to do with it, but I learned it really quickly. I learned how to use it, and I had to teach their classes as a senior in college because they had no idea how to teach the other students how to use it, but it came kind of naturally to me. And so I ended up teaching those classes. And my first computer was a Commodore 64. I still remember doing the rainbow.
I do.
20, go to 10, 30.
Yeah.
Like that was my education.
Yeah. When I was a freshman in college, I was briefly, very, very briefly, a business major. And one of the early classes we took were computers and business. And they introduced us to this thing called Mosaic.
Yeah.
And it was how you browse the internet before, you know, Netscape, which became a big thing. So like within a year from, you know, learning about Mosaic, the next year we're writing HTML and, you know, making websites. And I remember like showing one of my friends my website that I had made on the university server, and it had a picture. And he's like, how did you get that picture on there? Did you like hold it up to the screen? And it was just hilarious. And now, you know, we've kind of grown up with this. Yeah. And I had somebody recently that I was working with, and they're like, you know, I just really need to find a kid to do all this for me. And I'm like, no, you need a Gen Xer, because we've been here from the beginning to now.
That's it. Gen X is the generation that was in the middle of this huge dynamic shift about the way that we consume and process information. And I'm glad that it was Gen Xers, because we had the best music, we had like the right movies, like we had the right training to be able to handle this.
Yeah.
But it's definitely our generation.
And we were left on our own. So it was like, well, what are we going to do? So I remember, yeah, like I got home and I was, you know, home a couple hours and I was like, I learned how to fix computers because I broke my parents' computer before they got home and I had to fix it.
Yes. Critical thinking. We learned critical thinking because we couldn't Google answers.
Exactly.
I had a set of encyclopedias.
See, now the kids can't even Google answers. They just, everybody comes to me. I'm like, just Google that.
Yeah. Now it's
or let me Google that for you. That's what I do all day. Google stuff for people.
It's your, that's my job. Your official job title.
Yeah, official Googler. I need a tag, a name tag for that.
Yes. Yes. I have Google Foo too. I love it. And so you have this background. Like then did you become more techie, more marketing, more artsy? Like what, where did you go with that?
So I was always, like I said, in music and very artsy. I traveled with Up With People for a year. I don't know if you're familiar with them. It's an international student organization. So right after college, I got on a bus with one suitcase and traveled the entire country doing musical performances, and that was great. And then I came back and, you know, I thought there was a lot of things I should be doing. So I met a boy and we got a house and we got a lab and a SUV. And I thought, I'm gonna get a normal job. And so my sister was working at Verizon at the time. And she said, I'll get you a job there selling Yellow Page ads. I was in my early 20s. So I went through this training at Verizon. And this is important only because it gave me my sales training. I didn't know it at the time that I was going to be using it later, but it was this 6 weeks intensive corporate sales training class that I went through. And I was there for about a year and a half selling Yellow Page ads and just with a manager that would walk up and down the aisle going smile and dial, 100 cold calls a day. It was brutal. It was brutal. And then all of a sudden, online directories, like Yellow Page directories, started to pop up. And so now I had to sell internet listings to a generation of business owners that had absolutely no idea what it was, what its importance was, and why they needed it because they are just so used to picking up the phone book. This is when I started to really not like the job anymore. And so I gracefully exited from that position because it just wasn't for me. I also gracefully exited from that relationship, the SUV, the house, and all that whole life. And I ran back to Center City, Philadelphia, and I got a job as a bartender. And I bartended 3 nights a week. And on the weekends, I would go down the shore and spend it on the beach. And it was exactly what I needed in my 20s. Eventually, though, I needed to kind of get back into the world. And so I did the music thing with somebody for a very long time. And then right around 2009, 2010, the music industry took a huge shift, too, because music then was available online in a way that it had not been before. And unless you could really adapt to creating other streams of income with the music industry, you weren't going to make it from record sales anymore. And I didn't want to adapt. It wasn't that I didn't like it. It just, it wasn't going to be for me either. So I had all these new skills now, these new online skills, WordPress skills. And I had this sales training. And I saw this job opening for a sales account manager for a digital agency that did WordPress. And I thought, this kind of takes everything that I've been doing for my whole life and puts it into one cohesive, really neat package. I'm gonna apply for it. I'd never done it before, but I'm gonna apply for it. So I went for the interview and it was at Yikes, which is a digital agency here in Philadelphia. And I met with Tracy and Mia, who were the owners of that wonderful agency. And I just loved them and I loved the business. And the interview just went well. And like pure luck, they offered me the position and I worked for them for 5 years. So, I mean, you know, in relation to this podcast, these are the first two women that I really encountered within the WordPress community. And I could not be more grateful because they were two of the best mentors that I could have possibly have had. So I've also been very fortunate that the people that I have worked for or encountered within the WordPress community, the majority have really been powerful, successful women who have really just reached out their hand and like pulled me through. They were the first two. And I loved working there for 5 years. And then it was time for a bit of a change. And so I came to Web Dev Studios after, yikes, I've been here for 4 years now. So it's almost 10 years in total that I've been doing sales and or business development for WordPress websites. So yeah, but that, I mean, and at WebDev, I have Lisa Sabin-Wilson. She's our COO, the author of the WordPress for Dummies books, which is always behind me. She's been my mentor here in so many ways. I mean, I've been so fortunate that I've worked for two brilliant agencies, you know, for a good amount of time, and I've always loved this job. Meeting the clients that I get to meet is just really the most exciting part of everything that I do.
Yeah, all of those women are just amazing. We should talk to Lisa. We need to get Lisa on here. We need to get Tracy on here, the other Tracy, because some people still think, they still confuse me and Tracy because we're, you know, both gay. We have short hair, dark hair, and we do WordPress. Like, I mean, it's really interesting. It was like, no, there's two different Tracys in.
But does she wear a bow tie?
No.
No, but she does wear a regular tie sometimes. Yeah. So
that should be, you know,
There you go.
So at the first WordCamp, were there gloves that said yikes on them?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe I own a pair of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first WordCamp, I think I was still with Yikes, and that was one of the marketing.
I think you were, because I think I remember meeting you when you were there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we got a touchscreen so people could still use their cell phones. But joke was on us, because if you remember, it ended up being super warm in December here in Philadelphia, right? Which was just like a weird thing that never happened. It was unseasonably warm in Philadelphia, but you could still use the gloves.
But I mean, it's like for people in Wisconsin that use it. Yeah, like
they are great.
Awesome. So what, now that you're at WebDev, I mean, what are some of the kind of things that you're doing there as your WordPress role?
Yeah. So my official title is Director of Business Development. And that really I've kind of grew into this role. When I started, it was more client strategy, which I was essentially writing technical project plans for the projects that we were doing, but also working with the client for the initial needs assessment. I quickly realized that the level of work that we were doing here, I was not the best person to write project plans. Because unless you're doing engineering day in and day out, it's really hard to, I think, understand the complexity of the work that is involved with a lot of that. And so I quickly realized that my strength was being in a room of clients, finding out where their challenges were, and offering a solution that made sense. You could put me in a room with 2 people, 10 people, 15 people, and that's like my natural happy place to be. And I can talk to them for hours. And I was really good at that. But when you ask me to do documentation, that is not a strength that I currently have. I'm okay with that, though. I think recognizing what you're really good at and what is maybe not one of your strengths is just a luxury of age, right? You start to figure out what you're really good at and what you shouldn't be doing. So I know that now. So we evolved the role into more of a business development role, which suited me perfectly. So a lot of my responsibility is working with our enterprise clients that are retainer clients that we have for a very long period of time, finding out about potential new opportunities, making sure that they're happy that we're doing everything that we can for them, talking about some things that we would like to do for future phases. So Viacom, Campbell Soup Company, Microsoft, News Corp, NBA, they're some of my top clients that I get to work with pretty much on a weekly basis, which I love. But then we also have like a lot of small and medium-sized businesses that come to us with their own challenges that they're having, and I'll sit down and we'll figure out the best solution for them or what kind of website they need, and put together proposals and ultimately gracefully transition them into strategy. So that's primarily my job here is sales, but also a lot of account management. I really love talking with clients. And I spend most of my day now on video chats. I certainly miss being able to go visit people in person. I don't think that that's going to happen anymore this year, you know? So that's been a challenge of my job this year, is how to engage clients doing video chats now, or figuring out different ways. So I've resorted to sending cheesesteaks to clients, because being in Philadelphia, that's one thing that we get asked about all the time. So that's kind of like my new thing. Sending cheesesteaks to you and your family that you can enjoy. Okay.
So how far can you send these cheesesteaks?
Listen, you can send cheesesteaks anywhere in the country.
Well, then.
And so the question is, whiz or no whiz?
See, this is like, it has to be whiz whip. So it's actually onions or no onions is like the bigger question. Like, so the cheese is, if you're going to try an authentic Philly cheesesteak, you got to use cheese whiz. Now, I'm here to tell you that as you start to eat cheese whiz, you realize that it is not really a food product. And using things like provolone is probably better. But then the question does, do I have onions or do I not have onions? And now we have even a vegan cheesesteak in Philadelphia that was created by Questlove of The Roots. So nice. You can get a vegan cheesesteak made with Impossible meat now too. And that can be sent anywhere.
Because cheese whiz isn't dairy, right?
I'm actually not sure what it
is. It's not food. Sure
that's okay, well then I could eat it because I'm allergic to dairy, but not food I could probably eat.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. You know, ironically, Tracy doesn't eat dairy either. So yeah. She has a solution to that, I bet.
Yeah,
see, we've often eaten cheese sticks.
We call really that food stuff.
Yeah, food stuff.
Edible food stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, well, they have vegan cheese, which doesn't have dairy in it.
Yeah, I eat a lot of, actually, I get from a vegan, my ideal diet would be vegan, but then with meat. So I get stuff from the vegan restaurant and then I could just like add like an actual burger to it that I have, you know, so.
Like, I think you need to open your own restaurant, vegan with meat.
Vegan with a side of meat. We have all our main dishes are vegan, but we have these meat sides you can add.
You know what? I bet that would solve a lot of people's problems going out to eat. Like if you're dating a vegan, right? You're always asked with where to go. Like that's right. A problem solving solution.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I'm all about solving problems.
See, business ideas just flow from this.
There we go.
Thank you. That's great. You're welcome. So with all of your music background, do you get to use that at all now?
Not as much as I would like to. I will say though, I've been trying to keep my brain active during our this year that 2020 has shaped up to be. So I did go buy a guitar. That was the one instrument I didn't play. And I was convinced I was going to teach myself how to play it this year. I'm still working on that. It's very hard. It's very difficult. I was a piano player trying to kind of convert all like 20 years of piano lessons into playing the guitar has been a bit of a challenge, but I do have that. And I am starting to kind of use that again. Although I think I found that so many people in the WordPress community have music backgrounds. So many people have musical ability or musical talent. And I really attributed that to the way that you process music is the same way that you process writing code. To me, writing code is an art form, just like playing music. I know it's more like on the technical side of things. I understand that. But there really is an art and a skill that is associated with it. And so I think that it's very closely related to music. You're reading something and you're transitioning it into another form. And with code, it's very much the same thing. You're taking it from one form and moving it into another form. So it doesn't surprise me that so many people have musical knowledge or backgrounds or ability within the WordPress community. Everybody's so talented in this WordPress community. They all have, like, they're either into art of some kind or, you know, doing crafts like knitting or crocheting, or they're musicians or something. Everybody has these really amazing skills. And what I think is really cool about it is that everybody will talk about them too and kind of share. Like, yes, I do WordPress. Yes, I might code or design or whatever, but look at like this whole other life I have. And we kind of embrace one another through those similarities, which has been really fascinating to see.
Yeah, you're right. I've seen a lot of people. Oh, yep. Also, I play drums. So does Tracy. So like that's the other.
Are you sure you're not the same person?
And you know what? I question it sometimes, but we do have a photo of both of us together. So we are two people. But like, I think it would be really great to like having, because there are so many people that are very musically, you know, like we could just do WordPress bands. because I want to play more music and we can do this because we all are in technology too. So we would probably be able to adapt to kind of a virtual setting. I'm just saying,
I have an idea for the next time we can do WordCamp US in person, which is like, you know, what, 2027, is that we have a battle of the WordPress bands.
I love that.
Look at Tracy light up.
It would be so awesome.
We were speaking with Milena Kapp in Serbia, and she's a developer there, and she is a very, very, very accomplished violinist, right?
See?
Like, I mean, just like high, like way up there. But she, but so you're a marketing person. You have that brain for dealing with like synthesizing a lot of information coming at you from a lot of different directions.
Throwing out the musical terms.
Yes. And she said, and she's a developer, but she felt like her ability to, you know, like understand music helped her to understand. It's almost like her code was music. You know, it was like the code had this, well, what do we say? The poetry in it. And, yeah, no, it's so fascinating. You also do, you're involved with a lot of really incredible kind of nonprofit groups, like the advisory board for the diversity in Philadelphia's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Talk to us about your work with that.
Yeah, so actually my tenure just recently ended, but I served on that board for a number of years, and it was for the Convention and Visitors Bureau here in Philadelphia, and it was a committee to help promote diversity for the tourism industry that came into Philadelphia. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most enlightening experiences I ever had. I just got to work with some of the most brilliant minds in Philadelphia, and I was so proud of our city for wanting to put together something that encouraged more of an inclusive tourism area in Philadelphia, and really wanted to talk about diversity and inclusion in a very open and public setting. And so that was really fascinating. And what's really interesting about that is I ended up getting involved because of WordCamp US. So WordCamp US was held at our convention center here in Philadelphia. And that's how I was introduced to some of these people on the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And so they had asked me to serve on the board because I had been working so closely with them in the WordPress world, and they didn't have enough people in tech that were currently sitting on the board. And I said, yeah, this is like such a great opportunity. So we did a lot of different things and to help just keep that open conversation. So on the board with me were hotel managers and restaurant managers and people like from the Chinatown district in Philadelphia, from West Philadelphia. Everybody just kind of got together, and we tried to think of interesting and fun campaigns that would say Philadelphia wants everyone here. We really are the city of brotherly love. And so we want you to come, everybody come, you know, this is the city where you can really experience a melting pot of personalities and different kinds of people. So it was really, it was a very much a learning experience for me too. I mean, I just love Philly. I think it's a really great city. I think it sometimes it gets a very bad rap on the news. You hear a lot about the bad things that happen in Philadelphia. I mean, recently someone that I won't mention his name said bad things happen in Philadelphia during a debate. But the reality is that Philadelphia is one of the most artistic, inviting, historic, inclusive cities that exist. I think it is so cool that you can walk down cobblestone streets that Benjamin Franklin walked on, turn the corner and see a mural that was done by the Roots. Like, to me, that's just one of the coolest things ever, right? We have so much music started here in Philadelphia, too. Like, so many famous DJs and Motown artists really got their start here in Philadelphia. So when people talk about Philadelphia on the news, they're talking about these bad things that are happening, but they're missing the really important stuff. Like, we are a melting pot. We want everyone here. This is the city of brotherly love. And so on this board, we got to kind of talk about that in a really open setting. So it just made me, you know, feel like I was being giving back to my community in a way that I wasn't able to, which is really important to me. And, you know, but also I learned so much about the way that people view Philadelphia, and it was fascinating, and it was all because of WordCamp, which is kind of interesting too.
That's awesome. Well, the only times I've ever been to Philadelphia have been for those two WordCamps, but my experience there was, it was wonderful and lovely, and I enjoyed my time. I enjoyed going sightseeing, and Voldemort saying things about Philadelphia that aren't true or aren't accurate, I didn't feel unsafe or in danger or anything. And I felt that people were very wonderful. So,
yeah, I mean, it really is. I think that people need to kind of, you know, see or embrace the good stuff. We have some of the best food here. We have some of the best art. We definitely have some of the best music. And I mean, you can't really negate the history here in Philadelphia, whether or not it's good or bad. A lot happened here in this city. And that, you know, that's just, I find it very fascinating. I learn something or see something new every day in Philadelphia. And that, you know, that got me, it gave me an opportunity to learn too about what inclusion really means. And I'm not sure I can even fully define or understand it yet, but it certainly put me in a position to understand it more. Like, what does it mean to be inclusive? Like, what does diversity actually look like? And how can we best represent that in the city? So there were some really important lessons learned there.
That's awesome. Those are very important questions, very important questions, very important conversations. I think that's really awesome to hear or to learn about. Because one of the things, like, I think of, because you think of, yes, if you just are home and you watch the news, every other place is going to look horrible. And I remember, like, growing up, and I was like, I would see other countries on the news, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I live here. That looks terrible. And then I was in Australia, and then I looked at the news of the US, and I was like, if I were here, I would never want to go there. But, like, by going and experiencing things, then you actually get to see, like, the full, like, the breadth of the beauty. And then usually, I mean, even usually, like, don't even see the horrible whatever stuff that's on the news anyway. And so, like, that, you know, putting that for, and well, now we can't travel, but when we can again, like, that's really how I have learned and grown the most, by, like, going and actually going to a place, like, and experiencing is like, oh, this isn't anything like I was expecting it to be.
Yeah. People make up the culture of any city, and the news is never going to be able to clearly express what the community makeup is like. And I think the only way to really understand any location that you ever visit is to meet the people, like, taste the food. It's a very tangible experience that you need to have to fully appreciate it. I feel very fortunate too. I had mentioned right after college, I got to travel for a year. I learned, so first of all, having one suitcase, living out of a suitcase for a year is crazy. So I learned how to pack light. But also, you know, I traveled the country on planes and buses, and I got to stay with host families in these individual cities. I mean, I was integrated into these communities in a really strong way. And I came out of that experience with an education I could never have paid for. I learned so much, and I was so naive and green going into that year, and came out of that year thinking, I still know nothing, but, like, at least I got to experience this. Because I grew up in Northeast Pennsylvania in a super small coal mining town where the only thing that mattered is what nationality you were. Like, the Italians lived together, the Polish lived together, the Germans lived together, and that was it. If you were Italian, you lived in one section, which I was in an Italian-American family. You went to the Italian church, you went to the Italian school, and that was it. And so my whole existence up until I left, even though we went on vacations and stuff, but until I left and got to live somewhere else, was, I thought that was normal. That was diversity. And then I turned 18 and realized that I was like, I'm out. I ran so far from that city. I've never went back. But then I started to live in other places and I thought, wow, like I was sheltered. I was completely shut off from what reality really is. And I started to see the world in a very different way. And I think, you know, sometimes the universe has a plan for you. And I think the universe really pushed me into traveling because I needed that, or I wasn't going to be able to, I think, effectively live my life the way that I wanted to. So I think I was pushed to do that at a young age so that I could come out of that experience realizing there was so much to experience and so much to learn and really wanting to embrace that my entire life. And so I feel very fortunate in that respect too. And I'm very much a believer that if you are open to it, experiences will surface and you should take advantage of them because, you know, you could, some exciting things could really happen. Like I think about this all the time. I mean, why did I travel for a year? Why did I answer that ad for Yikes? Or, you know, why did I choose to learn WordPress and how that all kind of contributed to leading me here right now? And that's, I mean, it's kind of a nice feeling to have knowing that you can be guided into really amazing experiences if you allow yourself to be.
Oh, so true. Yeah. It's funny.
I really miss traveling.
I know. And I think I like what you're saying, cause I traveled for a year, after I graduated from college and in host homes. I think everyone needs to do that because I think we're all a little bit sheltered in our own little culture. So whatever it is. And like some of the lessons I learned, like you can't read that in a book.
No, you can't. You can't.
Oh.
I agree with you. If I had any advice to anyone coming up, like young folks that are in high school right now or debating whether or not to go to college, you know, I think that's a very personal decision for somebody. But the only thing I will say is that I think everybody should travel as much as possible and everybody should do an internship. Those are like the two biggest pieces of advice that I would give anybody kind of trying to figure out their future plans. Like you don't need to have any answers, but do those two things and the answers will come to you. That's just very much how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I love travel and I miss it so much. And I remember as soon as I had kids, one of the big things that I felt really strongly about is that I want to travel with them and I want to travel internationally with them. And when we first started planning our first big like international trip, like outside of, you know, like the Caribbean, which I know is technically not in the US, but it's the same. And we were planning to go to Italy, and one of my friends who had never been out of the US and, you know, kind of lived in the Midwest all her life, she's like, is that safe? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I think pretty sure it's totally safe.
Yeah. You just do the best that you can, right? You don't put yourself in unnecessarily unsafe situations. I've traveled alone. You know, when Work Camp EU was in mm-hmm. Paris, I thought that this was my opportunity to go to Paris. And so I went and I spent the next 5 days after Word Camp by myself, traveling through Paris. And I remember my mother calling me every day, just making sure that I was okay. And I didn't put myself in bad situations, but I think that feeling or that independence of being able to travel alone and experiencing things like that is really important. By the way, I was married at the time too, and I still wanted to do it on my own. Because there's an empowerment that comes with that, being able to figure out how to use the public transportation in a new city or figuring out what restaurant to go to or, you know, working through that language barrier on your own. There's lots of lessons to be had there. And so I try to embrace those opportunities as much as possible. In college, I remember I went and took classes overseas. We went to Hungary, we went to Austria, Croatia, a bunch of places. And I remember I was in Croatia. This is actually one of my favorite stories to tell. I'll be telling it till I'm like 80. And we were out, and so we had a few beverages. And it was late at night, and I was very young. And so I heard these people shouting some profanities from across this grassy field. And so, like any true person in a B movie, what did I do? I like ran into the field because that was what seemed logical at that moment. And I ended up getting chased by this group of Croatians continuing to scream these profanities. And finally, I got out of this loop of being chased and like back to my friends into safety. And I remember talking to one of the locals in the bar and thinking, like, I don't understand why they were screaming that word. And why did they know that I was American? And he basically explained to me that they knew I was American because I had on shorts. And people, only Americans wear shorts. And also the only words that they knew were those that they learned from American graffiti. And so it was those profanities. And I thought that that was so interesting. Like, I never occurred to me. That's when I learned that if you really want to stand out in Europe, wear shorts. Like, everybody will know you're American. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying it's a tell. And then also that people paid attention to American graffiti in a way that I had not really understood, but it's an art form, so I get it. But that's why they only knew those words. So I don't even think that they were trying to be mean. I think they were really just trying to communicate with me, and I didn't understand that that was their, you know, barrier to entry.
We are using your language. Not understand.
And meanwhile, I'm like running, night and day, trying to get away from them. One of them could have been a future partner. I don't know. I've never missed an opportunity.
Is this your entryway into Croatia?
Exactly.
Missed it.
Oh, I love your story. I had always wanted to travel, but I was a teen mom and I was so busy, like, raising my daughter and going to school, and I didn't get to leave the country till I was 40. And the first place I went to was to West Africa. And I landed on this tarmac. I was supposed to be with friends. They missed their flight and I'm just on my own in Accra. Like, oh, well,
go big or go home, right?
Go big or go home. That was the best experience of my life. So once I had that experience, it gave me the bug. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, you just need to buy a plane ticket. That's what you do. And just land yourself someplace and then work it out as you go along.
It doesn't work right now.
Yeah. It doesn't work right now. I know, it's so sad.
But even just like without the, you know, ability and privilege to be able to travel, like just putting yourself outside in your comfort zone, like that alone, because like that's really what it is. It's like putting yourself out of your comfort zone and you're like, I'm expecting this. And now all of a sudden you have to kind of take a step back and be quiet and listen and watch and learn and be like, go into a situation where like, I am not the expert here. I don't know the language or whatever it is. I think every kid needs to experience that. I mean, because it's one of those things, it's just so life-changing. And then you realize there's the world is so much bigger and you can find that down the street from your house.
Doing something as simple as volunteering in your community will expose you to so many different kinds of people within your own neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But that in and of itself could be very eye-opening and a learning experience. And, you know, the plus side of that is also you're giving back. And I believe that that always comes back tenfold to you. So if you can humble yourself and donate time to something, that is, it's huge. It's just such a huge thing. Here in Philadelphia, well, we can't do it now because of the pandemic, but you know, my like number one main thing to get involved with is animals. I have two dogs, Frankie and Aria. They're both rescues. They are the love of my life. I grew up with animals. We always had animals. I was always saving animals. So here in Philly, I walk the dogs at the animal shelter because they need to, you know, get out and like see other people. And I think that's such an easy thing. If you are in a community that has an animal shelter, you could go play with animals. And even that is going to teach you about empathy in a way that you're not going to be able to learn in a classroom. Because I definitely believe like animals can teach us a whole lot. Oh, yeah. So I encourage anybody to get involved with anything that they can within their community. And especially now, this year, just feeling so chaotic and off kilter, I think it's it can help with mental health sometimes even to be able to give back to something that you truly believe in, to just kind of center yourself for a minute. I mean, clearly I am not an introvert. And so this pandemic has been very challenging for me to be, you know, inside, right? And like not being able to experience people in person as much as possible. So I've had to be very creative in ways that have kept me sane throughout this year. Music, obviously, like trying to pick up music again, paying attention to the animals as much as possible. I am embarrassed to say this, but I have 130 houseplants that I take care of in my house.
Love it.
Because that is like for me one of the best mental health exercises ever. And in the summer I had like my container guarded outside growing things. So I've had to be very creative in ways to keep sane.
So you live in a jungle.
I love it.
I do. I live in a jungle. It's a very small Philly row home. It's like 980 square feet. It's tiny.
You have lots of oxygen.
I have the best oxygen ever in here. Yes.
The air is naturally filtered. Yes, you have a hab.
Oh, what?
You live in a hab, a habitat.
Oh, I do. You live in a habitat. Everybody makes fun of me and my houseplants. Actually, there was just an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer about people using plants as therapy during the pandemic. And they have a picture of one of my plant shelves and my two dogs in front of it.
Oh my goodness. I am not good with plants that grow in pots. So this summer, for the first time, I bought a hibiscus in a pot and had it on my patio. So I've just brought it in and I'm going to try to keep it alive for the winter. Yes. But I doubt my abilities to make that happen.
You got this. You can do it. This is the number one secret with plants. I'm going to share it with everyone in case anybody is interested in plants. This is the number one tip. This is all you will ever need to know. You stick your finger in the soil. If your finger 2 inches, if it comes out and there's dirt on it, don't water it. If it comes out clear, water it. That's it. And if you don't want to use your finger, use a chopstick. If there's dirt on it, it doesn't need water. If there's no dirt, it needs to be watered.
Oh my gosh. That is an amazing tip.
That's my tip.
I mean, we can't top that. So
it has been wonderful having you on with us today. Before we go, can you tell us where people can find you online?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. I think the work that you're doing with this podcast is wonderful. And it's really exciting to see all these amazing and fabulous people and hear their stories. So on behalf of the community, we appreciate the level of effort you're putting into this because I know it's a lot. And anybody, Twitter's the best place to for immediate contact. It's just my name at Jody_Richelli. It's that on Twitter and also on Instagram. Feel free to reach out, start a conversation. I'm happy to chat with anyone.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Want to be on the show? Sign up on our website, womenandwp.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter and join our Facebook group. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes.